Thanks for hitting that button. You are listening to the Mark the Shark Show.
All right, guys, you ready to rock? Are you excited? Well, sit back and enjoy. And welcome to the Mark the Shark Show.
Are you trying to learn how to play the guitar and have difficulty learning? Well, you need to look no further. Check out my YouTube channel called the Rockin' with Mark YouTube channel. That's Mark with a C. And on there, I have a bunch of lessons on how to play guitar. And you can all learn it for free. Check it out today. Again, my YouTube channel is called the Rockin' with Mark YouTube channel.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Mark the Shark Show. I hope everyone's having a great day. We have a great episode in store for you. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Brandy Alexander, and you are listening to the Mark the Shark Show.
Marcus Sander was a normal family man till he was captured by the Nazis, imprisoned and tortured. His only means of survival was to become a vampire. Now his only fear is on how to keep his daughter safe, but not only from the Nazis, but from the creatures of the Dark World. Marcus the Vampire, the first book in the Dark World Chronicle series, now available at www.retortofamilybooks.com and on amazon.com. Get it now.
Are you looking for your next action thriller novel? Check out The Cabal, The Saga Begins. You can find it on amazon.com and barnesandnoble.com or www.retortofamilybooks.com. That's RITORTO familybooks.com. Again, check out the next great action thriller suspense mood book called The Cabal, The Saga Begins.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Mark the Shark Show. And today we got a special guest all the way from the UK, Lily Petroschio. Did I say your name right? Just double checking.
Yeah, very close.
How do you say it again?
Petrescu.
Petrescu. Oh, okay. Okay. That's very interesting. Okay. And she is a branding expert, and she actually has a brand book out on how to help people to create their own brand and to be successful at it, and help them publish a book and so forth. So can you give us a little background on yourself and how you got started?
So I'm a book publisher and personal brand strategist, and I create books that transform the world, that will elevate your brand and get you speaking worldwide and help you to attract more opportunities to you. And in the last few years, I've reached 1 million people in social media and reached over 140,000 followers. And my mission is to impact 100 million people to be happier, to go after what they want, to share their stories, and to create books that transform the world.
Oh, okay. So you're a publisher and you just work with authors and help them publish books. Is that what you do? And you help them with the branding
of
the books? Okay. And then, so how does one get started? Like, do they contact you and do you split the profits 50-50? So how does that work?
One important thing is that everyone wants to either write a book about their life, or some people don't know why they should write a book. Okay. So for those that want to write a book about their life, I say, okay, that's a good idea if you're very famous already. If you want to write a book that will actually help you to further your business, to grow your business, then you should write a business book about what you actually want to promote. So if you are a property investor, you should write a book about property investing. If you are a podcaster, and if you want to, let's say, sell courses on how to become a want to sell, do a book about that, so that you can attract more leads for that, and also so you can raise your authority. And in that book, put your personal stories of how that became true for you and what system you created so that other people can have the same success you had in that area. Now, how do people get started? Is first look at what is their message? What is their luxury brand message that can be turned into multiple streams of income? And in the process, they could also elevate their brand, because a lot of people either are very successful in their business, but they never really thought about publishing their knowledge, okay? So what happens is that it's much harder when you're not an author to attract leads. When you are an author, then people see you as more authoritative. And also when you have a book, you can appear in the media. And when you appear in the media, then you can attract more leads to you. And also you get to speak at multiple events. And at those events, there are people that may have never met you unless you were an author. So the very first step is to create this message that your tribe feels attracted to, and turn that not only into a book, but perhaps a TEDx talk, a workshop, a seminar, some sort of program that other people can follow, so that it not only works to sell those things, but it also helps you to sell what you're already selling. Maybe properties, maybe property rentals, maybe insurance, whatever it is you're selling, it can help you sell more of that.
How did you get into this idea of, being a publisher and helping people create their brand? How'd you get started? Is it something that you learned in college, or you just picked it up on your own, or how'd you get started?
Good question. I came to London with 100 euros in my pocket, and 8 years later, I was still a nanny. And I had very low confidence, and I decided that I wanted to do something that would leave a legacy, because it felt like I hadn't achieved anything. I didn't have a boyfriend. I didn't have a house. I didn't have children. I had nothing. So I decided to do something that would mean something important for the future. So I published my first book, and it was that book that helped me to turn myself into a magnet for opportunities. Lots of people started to invite me to marketing events for the book, and to give me job opportunities. And that's how I ended up managing a property management company and also being the director of an English school. And I wrote a few books to help those companies grow as well. And they did help, because the English courses were able to be sold for double the price for the same thing. And for the property business, it went from 400,000 roughly to 642,000 per year for the same number of properties, simply by adding value and also by gifting the book to some key people that we really wanted to rent to. And then I started speaking around the world about the power of a book, and I started helping some friends, and then I set up my publishing company, because I realized I'm really passionate about writing, being creative, and also helping people to elevate their brand through publishing a book.
And then, so let's get to the publishing aspect. Like, so what is the business model for the publishing company? Do people sign up with you, and then you offer them and you help them out free and you split the profits, or do they pay you up front and then the author keeps all the profits that they make off the sales and then after, because they've already paid your fee? Like, how does that work? How does that structure work?
So there are two types of publishers. There's publishers that are traditional publishers that will publish and then make money from royalties, and I'm not that. And then there's non-traditional publishers that will help you to technically self-publish, okay? And what I do is I take an upfront fee for helping to publish someone. But the biggest thing is that I'm not just a publisher. I'm a personal branding strategist. So in the process, I'm not just a personal branding strategist, I'm also a marketer. So let's say that you come to me and you're doing something in your business. I could say, how about if you add this thing? or this other thing. And just that could add a lot of value to your business. So in the process of you doing your book, you discover a lot of key things from a marketing perspective that you should be doing. The other thing is that you start to have more consistency. So for example, maybe you've been using all sorts of random colors for your business. And when you work with me, then you think about, okay, what kind of consistent colors should I have? So for example, for me, I always wear red, white, and a little bit of black everywhere I go. And I have those in social media everywhere. And those are actually the only colors that I wear. Now, you don't have to do it like that. You can just choose a theme. You can choose that you are going to be Mr. Colorful or Miss Interesting or, you know, Mrs. with, you know, nice colorful jewelry. Or you can be the person that always wears a scarf or always wears a hat or, you know, something that identifies you, something that makes you different and makes you special. And the other thing we work on as well is, for example, people that come to me, a lot of them have multiple names. So they have maybe like two first names, two surnames. And if they want to follow my advice, sometimes they don't. But if they do, what happens is that you have to consider yourself almost like an artist, okay? Almost like a musician. Why? Because you want to be memorable as an influencer. So when you publish a book, you're not just publishing a book, you're becoming an influencer. And you want to influence as many people as possible in a positive way. For this to happen, they have to remember your name. So you might have to cut down your gazillion names and maybe simplify some of your names, or even in very extreme cases, change your name. Because I did meet some people and I thought, wow, that is your name. Oh my God, you know, and you have to consider reducing those names, because when you have a kilometric name that nobody can spell, the likelihood of them following you is a little bit smaller. Okay, so it's not just publishing a book, it's publishing a book, branding yourself. How do you look in all social media? And then do you have a website? Do you have a website that promotes the book? Do you have a website that promotes the workshops that you're going to do or that you've done before? And, you know, there's a bigger strategy around what you're doing so you can get better results.
Now, most of your clientele is people who are writing a book to promote their brand, or do you work with like fictional authors and stuff like that?
I work just with nonfiction authors because it's supposed to be something very practical for other people to learn so they can take their lives to the next level.
Oh, okay. And now do you help them book certain events like speaking engagements, or do you just say, advise them like, all right, you contact these group of people for speaking engagements to help promote the book and so forth? Where do you say, all right, I got this venue and all my authors can go to this venue and like do speaking?
So regarding speaking events, what happens is that I get booked to speak a lot. And also lots of people ask me, you know, can you speak in Dubai? Can you speak in Costa Rica? Can you speak in Ecuador? And all these sort of things, right? Now, I don't go everywhere where, you know, I'm invited. But there are maybe other people that are interested in going there. So I will say, okay, I don't want to go there, but do you? Okay. Or for example, I went to Dubai and I was invited to speak alongside my partner. And when I was there, I invited 20 of my authors because there was space for other speakers as well. And five of them ended up coming. So what happens is that because my partner Harry trains them to speak confidently so they can be not only confident, but appear charismatic and fun as they're speaking, then it's like what I provide is almost like a one-stop shop where they are trained to speak confidently, they look great, and then wherever they appear, they make a big impact from a speaking perspective. What they say is impactful, it's concise, it's got a great message, it's got a luxury image. And because of all of this, what happens is that they get booked to speak a lot more. So let's say even if they were to speak only in one event of mine, even a small event of 20 to 50 people, they appear there and everyone there is like, okay, maybe how about we do a joint venture with you? Or they start collaborating among themselves as well. Many of my authors and many people that are not authors yet, they start offering different opportunities to the speakers. So I do offer personally a lot of opportunities to the speakers and authors that we train and that we publish. But at the same time, they get a lot of opportunities at my events because there's a lot of promoters, speaker organizers, and, you know, organizers of events that come and attend our events. And in that process, they get to learn about all these amazing speakers and authors that I publish. And because of that, they get invited to more and more and more events. To some, just to give you an example, I invited this lady from the US during the Corona time to come on a speaking tour in Peru. And when she was there, we were due to speak, you know, five times to do like five different gigs for like 3,000 people, another 3,800, 500, and 200. And in the end, the Corona, you know, thing kind of stopped it. We could only do one event of 800 people. And then we did some, you know, social work and so on. But what ended up happening is I introduced this lady to my network from Singapore. So she started speaking at an online event with hundreds of people online. Then I introduced her to someone from Dubai. And then this person got her speaking in so many countries. And then someone from there got her speaking in Africa. So now she's everywhere. Then she spoke in London as well. So she's like literally everywhere. Not to mention that in actually in South America, she spoke not only in Peru, but in Cartagena, in Colombia. And she was invited to speak in so many other countries, like online as well. You know, in Latin America. So it's like, she's everywhere because of me. And that's what happens with all my speakers and all my authors.
Yeah. What kind of distributions systems do you use to sell the books? Is it like off their websites? Is it Amazon? Or is it like, how do they just sell their books?
So the books are currently on Amazon. That's the main one. Okay. And also the ones that wanted to have a website, they have it on their website. I also put all of their books on my website. And also everywhere I go to speak around the world, I show their books. So a lot of them even get leads, you know, buying their book, even from events, because they're like, oh, I like that. I should buy that, right? So there's a lot of things that they get that I don't even know about, okay? What even happened to me is that I organized this event with a multimillionaire. And he wasn't trying to sell anything. And even at that event, he sold 100,000 pounds to someone from the audience. And I didn't even know about it until like 6 months later. And that's the kind of thing that happens where you're, when you're an author, when you're a speaker, and when you're branded right.
Interesting. And I noticed that you use, other than like, you know, Facebook and so forth, I noticed that you have a YouTube channel as well. Do you tend to host, like, I don't know, like an online event on your YouTube channel?
So yes. I do events online as well. And when I do, then they are either live streamed to YouTube or they are put on YouTube later. And also they are on Facebook, on my, you know, business pages, and also shared to my other channels. So yeah, I do post them there. And I find that it's very important to not only look great in social media, but to give a lot of value. And when you do, people come back for more. And in our events that are in person in particular, because my partner Harry and I are very fun, and the events that we organize have great results in terms of taking people who have never spoken before to becoming confident enough to speak within 24 hours, despite the fear they're experiencing. So because we've had that, so many people have attended our workshops and they've had massive results. And then they start doing unbelievable things like closing major contracts or asking people on a date or taking leadership, taking initiative at work. So much more has happened because they have dared to empower themselves through public speaking and through publishing a book.
And what do you do if you work with a client that's, I don't know, like kind of like socially awkward, but they're trying to get into this type of thing where they have like, you know, like let's say they're a property management company or a podcast or whatnot, or actually a podcaster that wouldn't be socially awkward. That's kind of like a bad example. Let's say they were into real estate or construction or something like that, but they didn't have like good presentation skills to do these public speaking.
Good question. I was myself one of the most boring speakers, not just boring, but really afraid of speaking for a long, long time. So I think I started to learn how to speak, you know, confidently on stage at the age of 35. Until then, I was absolutely terrified of the stage. So much so, I wasn't just terrified of the stage. I was terrified of appearing anywhere, like including on video, you know, giving a testimonial or a review for a product that I liked or a speaker that I saw. I couldn't dare to do that because I was so afraid. But what happened was that because Harry and I created this course called Speakers Are Leaders, and initially he created it in order to train me. So what could a person like, let's say a property manager, construction worker do is go to public speaking courses. And Speakers Are Leaders is a great course that enables you to kind of go from being socially awkward or being so terrified of speaking that you feel like you're going to die if you go to the stage, and to go from that to start to have the guts, okay? It's all about having that courage to do it no matter what. And of course, are you going to be the most interesting person in the room? Maybe not to start. But the more you do it, the better you get. And at some point, you'll be absolutely awesome.
You don't seem like you had that problem, though, but so I guess that course worked with you.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
You seem very outgoing now, so I guess the course could work for you.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I'm actually an ambitious introvert. So I've worked really hard on myself to get to this stage where I can just talk to you without throwing up, or at least without throwing up before the meeting. So I've really made massive progress, and I'm very proud of myself for having, you know, gone through this massive journey. And I can tell you, if you watch a video of me, and I do have a video of me from six years ago. And I remember just to do a 1 minute video promotion for my very first event, I had to do more than 100 takes, and I have every single one of those takes. And I'm looking at that, I'm thinking, wow, I wasn't that bad. And that's another thing to remember for all of you that want to be speakers. The first thing is, you're never as bad as you really think. It's a lot of it is just in your head thinking, oh my God, I'm so terrible. And it's that thought of you feeling or knowing that you're terrible. That's the thing that actually puts a big brake on your development. And it's because people have told you when you were young that maybe you're not good at this or not good at that, or this is silly, this is stupid, this is, you know, and because you took that to heart, that's why you're not making as much progress. So a lot of it is also affirmations and believing in yourself and just daring to do it. Now, it's easy to say when, you know, you've gone through a lot of training, but all you have to do is just take that courage to start a public speaking course, and then you will see what ends up happening. It reflects in all areas of your life.
Yep. Now, with the books, right, like the typical books, like you help them, like let's say the author, do you help them, like let's say the author is like a businessman, like I said, let's say he's never written a book before, but he wants to be able, you know, to undergo your strategy of using the book to write something about, I don't know, something that he does that differentiates him from other contractors so he can promote his brand. Do you help him, like, with the brainstorming and coming up with the ideas to actually put down on paper?
Yes, absolutely. That's a key part of what I help wannabe authors with. Because the thing is that the thing that stops people is, I don't know what I'm going to write, and I don't know what I'm going to write about. Or a lot of people just say, oh, I want to write about my story. And I think that's a mistake, okay? Because what you want to write is, you can have your passion book or you can have your profit book. And the question is, which one are you going to do first? And there's a better option, which is you can mix your passion book with your profit book. And how you do it is you turn it into a business book that tells your system or your blueprint for doing something that you are successful in, that you want to promote. And within that, you put the stories of how that became true. Okay. So having said that, there are some exceptions as well. Okay. So for the most part, I would say always go for the profit book first. But look, recently I met this guy, and he is doing like taken companies to IPO. And he was also, you know, he also had a very interesting life that on its own could be a book. So I do think there is more profit in the IPO book, like how to take companies to IPO, how to, you know, how to grow companies and so on. But he really wanted to do the other one, you know, and, you know, the other part of his life is super interesting. So that is an exception, I would say. Okay. For most people, I would say go for the profit book first and put your stories in it. It's not going to be about telling your story. It's about helping other people to overcome something, helping other people to grow, to, you know, to feel better, to be healthier, to, I don't know, have a better business, to find the love of their lives. I don't know, something you can teach them that will take their lives to the next level. Now, most people don't write a book for other people. They write it for themselves. And that is a big mistake. Because you need to write it for other people to help them with their problems and to give them solutions. And I know this because the very first book I wrote was for me. And it was called Meet the Nanny. Now, did anyone want to meet the nanny? No, they wanted to get a solution for their problem. It still helped me to become an authority by being an author. And it still helped me to get all these amazing opportunities. And from then on, I went on to write books that actually serve people. And that's what I recommend to do as well.
Have you ever met anybody like, all right, they signed up or whatever at your website or try to contact you, but whatever their idea was like, nah, this isn't going to work. Sorry, I can't help you.
So I can say that every person that came, I managed to show them the bigger picture. I managed to show them, you know, if you do this like that, you are going to get so much more benefit if you do it like that. And they usually went along with it. Now, they didn't actually go along all the time with the actual title that I suggested, but it was still a fairly good title that I was happy with. So that's okay. It worked out. So for the most part, it worked out. There was like only like one person that I definitely, you know, suggested really great titles. And she's still thinking what she's going to choose. But that's like a proper exception. And I would say I've never said, no, I can't help you with that. Sure, some people couldn't afford me because I am one of the best in the world. So you can say I am the Rolls Royce of book publishing with a Simon Cowell personality. What I mean by that is that I will tell it like it is with love. The idea is that I want you to grow as a person by publishing a book. I want your book to be successful because if it is, it makes me look good and I always like to look good.
I hear you. That's very interesting. So if people wanted to sign, to like get in contact with you, what's the best way? Just go to your website?
Is that yes, it? You can go to hello@lily.global. And Lily is written just with one L, okay? So it's lily.global. Okay. And, or you can email me, or you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok.
That's very interesting. Yeah, so for everybody that's listening to the podcast here, once you get to her website, she's got a list of all the little programs she's offering, her books, her speaking and media events, as well as links to all of her social media on Facebook, Instagram, even LinkedIn, and YouTube. Very fascinating. Lily, it was great having you on our show. I appreciate you taking the time out and speaking out to everybody who's going to be listening to the podcast. And hopefully, I don't know, are you doing any speaking engagements here in the U.S. soon? Or?
So I did one that was online with a lot of people from the U.S. And I'm collaborating with a celebrity that lives in the U.S. Oh. And she helped many authors to sell 200 million books in total. And we have a book program together where we help authors to get published either with their own book or with a chapter in a book with her and me. And the last five books that we published together became number one bestsellers in US, Canada, and many other countries for multiple weeks. And the latest one launched was on the 18th of July, and it became a bestseller in four countries, and number one bestseller, and then number two in Australia, and also number one hot releases in seven countries. So I'm very excited to be here Thank you so much. And for those that want a free strategy implementation call for publishing or writing your book, then I'm offering a 30-minute free consultation with me if you want to strategize about your book being published.
There you go. All right, everybody. This is Mark the Shark signing off. And until next time, everybody, take care.
Hi, this is Coraline Jewell. You're listening to the Mark the Shark podcast show.
This episode is also brought to you by Ritorto Family Books. Go to www.ritortofamilybooks.com to get a great book to read, including the books I've written, Marcus the Vampire and the Cabal of the Saga Begins, or my daughter's books, The Invisible Girl and her new book, part of the Visible Girl series called A Little Bit Louder.
This is to all you parents out there. Are you looking for a great book for your child to read? Well, look no further. Christina Ritorto has done it again by putting out a sequel to her first book in the Invisible Girl series. The sequel is called A Little Bit Louder. Get it now at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com or RitortoFamilyBooks.com. Again, the book is called A Little Bit Louder, written by Christina Ritorto.
Hi, everyone. This is Deborah Driggs, and you are listening to the Mark the Shark Show.
Hi, everyone. This is your host, Mark the Shark. I want everybody to know that not only do I have this podcast, I have another podcast about the sport of mixed martial arts. So if you're into that kind of thing, check out my other podcast called The Mark the Shark MMA Show. And if you want to be on that show or this show, make sure you contact me on Facebook at Mark the Shark MMA Show. And that's my Facebook channel. Or you can go to my website, www.markwithac.com. Again, it's www.markthesharkmmashow.com. And you can also follow me on Instagram at mark_ritorto2. That's Mark, M-A-R-C, underscore Ritorto, R-I-T-O-R-T-O, 2. That's for Instagram, or Mark, B-J-J, Fighter, on Twitter. And also, don't forget to check out my YouTube channels. I got the Rockin' with Mark YouTube channel. That's Rockin' with Mark, with a C again. Or the Mark the Shark MMA Show, all on YouTube. All right, guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast, and keep on listening. Hi, everyone. Well, unfortunately, all good things must come to an end, and that's all we have for this particular podcast episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you keep following my podcast here, the Mark the Shark Show, and keep listening and look out for future podcast episodes.